Today on this Advent 4, Sunday of Love is also known as the Sunday where we honor and remember the Blessed Virgin Mary. Of course, she is essential to the story of the coming of our Lord. So it's so appropriate to have a day dedicated to this. And yet we are in year A of the lectionary, which has the reading, which actually focuses on Saint Joseph. And so we don't want to take away Mary her due. She is essential to this, but we're going to spend some time thinking through what, Joseph's life at this moment. Because as we think about what's happening in his life, we're going to see what you and I are called to as we follow Jesus. So that's going to be made more apparent, reflecting on Joseph. And I was thinking about this, as I prepare each week, and recognize that this passage is so incredibly personal to me. Let me share a little bit about that. When I met my now wife, when we met, it was we went on a date or two, and then we were dating. Her reality, she had a very specific details of her life that I had to confront. My wife had been married before. She's a widow. Her late husband, he died in a car accident, and he had died. She had a 2-month-old baby. My now little girl, my daughter, she's 7 now. She's very little, and so to meet her and get to know her was to also hold that part of her life. If you've ever lost someone, I think you'll know that specific pain never actually goes away. It doesn't disappear. It is not folded neatly away. It's just always part of your life. And of course, she had a little daughter. And that was, at the beginning, probably overwhelming for me. But I remember that in meeting them both, it was kind of a sign to me. You see, prior to meeting them, I had, years ago, I had applied my first time to possibly enter the discernment process for ordination to the priesthood. And, I had excellent grades and aptitude, and I had great support, so I was very confident in my application to put it forward. And it's a grueling process to even do the application, let alone to even secure an interview with the diocese. And you spend a whole day being asked all kinds of theological questions and hypothetical situations to see what kind of person you are. And there I am answering, I'm ready, I'm prepared for this. This is what I trained for. I'm ready for this. But my application didn't go through. And they gave me some reasons why I wasn't accepted to the program at that time. And I'll be honest with you, when they gave me those reasons, I did a big eye roll. Like, you're wrong. This is ridiculous, the reasons you're giving me. And then I felt comfortable dismissing them. But one of the words, something that was said to me that I couldn't get rid of, had been from actually a Lutheran evaluator. She said, Seth, it just seems like you struggle to communicate the love of God when you talk about your faith. And when she said that, it had really annoyed me. I resented that she said that out loud and in mixed company. But I couldn't shake it. And I thought, you know what? Maybe I have to consider this. As much as I don't like to hear this criticism, maybe this is important. I have to deal with this. And so that became part of my prayer life. I remember asking God, if I struggle to share your love, can you teach me how to love? If I'm struggling to share this, can you help me learn how to do it? Help me share your love. And then I did what is probably the most Seth thing to do, is that I went to the library and got a bunch of books on love. And I started reading. Well, I'm going to learn. I'm going to get a gathered knowledge in my brain on love. But now in the years since then, not that reading isn't valuable. It's very important to study and dedicate your heart and mind to education, to learning. But I think what God did when I asked and I prayed is that he answered that prayer. He said, you want to learn how to love? Here's a young woman. She's a widow. She has a child. Here you go. It's It's not just the books. Here are two people. They're a family already. And you're being invited into that family. Will you choose to do that? For me, it was a choice, right? Now, years in, for all the challenges that come with a blended family and grief and loss and, you know, I mean, they were already an existing family. I was coming into that reality. For all the challenges that presented themselves, I promise you, there's never been a day of regret. Experiencing the love of God in these two people who are my family, and I'm their family. And over the years, St. Joseph has become like a patron saint. Although it's often a vulgar calculus to try to compare people's sufferings and say, well, this person suffered more, this person suffered less. It's gross when someone does that to you. When you're hurting, you say, oh, well, you know, that person's hurting more. It's not good to put that on someone. But the individual who's going through hardship, I think, can, with measured perspective, analyze their situation and say, you know what? I have my hard things, but that seems pretty heavy. And that's what I do with the story of Joseph. Because Joseph is living 2,000 years ago in ancient Palestine. And his home is occupied by Rome, the Roman Empire. And so he's living in an incredibly unsafe time. And he has a young wife. And we know by later in the story that they're actually very poor people, because when Jesus is born and he's taken to the temple to be circumcised and recognized, it says that they bring two doves, two pigeons, which was an accommodation given in the Old Testament law for the poorest of the poor. If you couldn't afford even one lamb, one goat, you could bring two pigeons. An accommodation for the poor, and that's Jesus' family. That's Joseph. And so he's living in a very hostile environment, conquered people. He's part of the conquered people, desperately poor. He's going to be married. And here it's revealed that his soon-to-be bride is pregnant. Now it says in the reading, I don't want to make things up here, that Joseph was righteous. Yeah. Joseph's given a title of righteous, which is a very special designation. I think we have to understand it to understand the weight of this moment. Joseph finding out that Mary is with child. You see, a person who is righteous, the ancient word is tzaddik. And to be a righteous means that you are the kind of person that is devoted to the Torah, to God's word, right? Imagine you're daily spending time on the Bible, learning it, memorizing it. You know, when you have income, you're giving that to God, you're tithing. You know, you abstain from the pleasures of the flesh or vices, right? You live a life of virtue. You're humble. It's a recognition. The community recognizes you're a tzaddik. You are righteous. When I was very young and my parents split up and I spent many years living with my grandmother, who essentially raised us, my family didn't have much. My grandma didn't have much. So we had a very small one-room apartment. We shared a bed, me, my sister, and my grandmother. That's all we really had. We didn't have too much. But our house was always immaculate, clean. My grandma would say, well, maybe you can't help being poor, but you can always have a clean home. Right? That's the way that you can, she could step out of her home with a sense of pride, dignity. Yeah, I don't have much, but my home is clean. If you come over, you can eat off the floors if you want. It's perfect. Because when you don't have much, you have to hold on to what you have. And for Joseph, he had his reputation. I'm a righteous man. I'm not saying self-righteous. People who lord their good works over people and beat them with them. We're not saying Joseph is self-righteous. We're saying he's actually righteous. He's actually a good man. Honest, faithful, kind, loves God, loves people. That's what he has. And his bride-to-be, Mary, is pregnant. You have to understand that's a threat to everything he is, because we know from the story, we might be very comfortable with it. Oh, well, of course God did that, and that's Jesus, and the whole story, and blah, blah, blah. St. Paul shows up at some point. We're comfortable with that. But at that point in the story, what's Mary going to say? Mary says, Joseph, this is from God. What's Joseph going to think? Mary, do you hear how that sounds? How ridiculous, even if I wanted to believe you, how silly this sounds? Because there are designations for people who do this, right? Sexual purity was a very, very big deal in this culture at this time. You've either been seduced by some other person, some other man, or you've been assaulted. Either way, your purity is jeopardized. All right? So if he's a righteous man, do I stay with you? What do I do here? And here he has a challenge. Because he is a tzaddik, he's a righteous, which means he's living his life in the light of God. And he's like, well, God, how do I love you right now? Because everything I know would tell me, according to your law, I should probably bring her to the temple. In the Old Testament, if you had a woman and you were doubting her purity, you can bring her to the temple. The priest would give her what's called bitter waters. They would drink that. The woman would drink that. And if the woman died, she was guilty. If she lived, then she was innocent. And that was the end of the story. So Joseph would know this story. He would know what to do. God, do I bring her to this? And that's going to be a public scandal. That's going to ruin her forever. Even if she's found innocent, it's still, that's a mark. My life is going to be complicated now. What? How do I love you? That's the question, right? Love. He's a good man. He doesn't bring her to the temple to have her drink those waters. It says he wants to divorce her quietly. I'm not going to create a scandal for you, but I must maintain my righteousness. So I'm going to distance myself from you. I'm not sure about this. And although we know the story and we know what's real, I'm going to tell you, all of us in this room, we'd feel, if someone did something and said, oh, God told me to do this, I think we'd all have question marks. So I don't want us to put Joseph in a box of, oh, how dare you. We would all do that. All right? Are you okay with that? That's what would happen. Joseph is doing the best he can. Okay, I'm going to divorce you quietly. It's amazing, actually, for a man to devote his whole life to following God. And by trying to do the right thing, he almost missed it. He missed what God was doing in his midst. Do you see that? Because now we know child in Mary's womb is going to save the world. 2,000 years later, people will be devoting their lives to this person. And even those who don't follow it will be compelled by his message of love, his morality, his ethics. We know that, you know? It's like having the winning lottery ticket and almost tearing it up. Ah, who cares, right? It's like that. That's what's happening right now. Joseph almost misses it. I'm going to stop here. You have to ask yourself. I'm going to ask you. You have to ask yourself, what is God doing in your life right now that you're almost missing? Maybe you're trying to preserve reputation or standing in the circles that you inhabit. And what God's doing in your life is probably a little too complicated. Because following God is complicated. Joseph had a complication with Mary, the child, but for us, it might not be that, it might be different. It might be, I'm a Christian in the Bow Valley. That's already complicated. Out here, being a Christian always comes with a question mark. And so for us, to guard our reputation and the circles that we inhabit, we might say, oh yeah, I go to church. It's an Anglican church. I'm sure everyone knows, we're really cool, really chill, just Anglican. We're nice, we're sensible. No, not Bible thumpers. We're not putting our hands up. Sensible Anglican, very polite. Okay. Downplay what we actually believe. Downplay what Jesus is saying. You know? Joseph, I'm going to quietly divorce you. step away. I'm a Christian. I'm going to keep this really quiet and habit circles and polite. Right? And by that maneuver of preserving our reputation, preserving what we're comfortable with, we're missing what God could do in our lives. We're missing an explosion of God's love, of God's peace. The plans that God has prepared for your life, if only you'd step into it with faith. But maybe we're divorcing Mary quietly. Maybe we're moving back. And so when Joseph begins that process of divorce, it says that an angel shows up and makes things clear. Joseph, stop. Just so you know what's happening in Mary, the child, this is a God thing. This is a God thing. Stay. Don't leave. And he doesn't, right? It doesn't take an angel, my friends. It doesn't take an angel to stop. Well, maybe one of you will get an angel. That's great. I want to hear about that. But if you're not getting an angel in the next couple of days, I want you to think at this moment, consider this moment the angel right now. I understand, at some level, I can understand the desire to maintain a reputation, to not feel awkward in all the social circles that you inhabit. But faith in the living God, to live in God's light, as Joseph is now learning, to be a righteous, to be a tzaddik, to be a person that lives in the light of God, to be that person, you have to be a kind of human that takes the reputation you've crafted for yourself and you submit it, and you let it go. That's what it means to follow God. To take whatever reputation you have, whatever you think people think about you, let it go, and to receive what God is doing in your life. To receive an identity from God. That's what it is. Because Joseph married Mary. And I'm telling you, although he had the angel experience, we don't hear about anyone else seeing an angel. So when he married Mary, you can believe that people around him were talking. Oof, Joseph. Married that woman who was seduced. She's a common woman. Scarlet letter. Right? You can believe that as a poor person in a conquered area, his life just got incredibly harder. And if you read the Gospels, you'll see that Joseph quickly disappears from the Gospel narratives, which the commentators will tell you that likely Joseph died early in Jesus' life, so that Joseph never actually got to see who Jesus was. He couldn't have really known what was happening there. Well, we know, right? Mary, we learn later, hears and understands Jesus, and she ponders that in her heart, and she gets a sense that she's in the story. Joseph disappears. He doesn't get to see that Jesus becomes that man who loves God perfectly, who loves humans perfectly, who then gives his life on the cross, and in that death and resurrection and ascension, saves the world, you and me. Joseph doesn't see that. It was enough that he got that word from God and he stepped into that hard place, reputation. Everything I've worked for, on the ground, I'm conquered, I'm poor, my reputation that held me, it's now gone. I now only have what God has given me. And that is true righteousness. That is a human being truly living in the light of God. Now let's bring this home to end. God is calling each one of us in this room, right here. All of us have our self-styled identity, reputation that we protect, that we stand at certain angles so that people see that. In the social circles that we inhabit, maybe the easy move, downplay the Jesus thing, outplay my CV, my successes, and walk around with this, all these mirrors. And in doing that, we're walking away from what God is saying, what God is doing in our lives. I'm going to invite you right now to surrender that. All of us. Surrender that. Come to God and say, God, I have this excellent CV. I have all this reputation. but I don't want to miss what you're doing in this world and in my life. I want to give that up. I want to follow you. Even if it costs me people chirping around me, rolling their eyes at me, losing opportunities because they think I'm silly. I don't want to worry about that anymore. I want to be a Sadiq. I want to be truly righteous. I want to live in your life. And what's going to help you do that, my friends, if you want to do that, you know what it helps you? What I've learned is to recognize that the love of God is going to help you do that. The love of God does it. You want to know why? Here's the love of God. Joseph ruined his reputation to marry Mary, right? To step into that. But I want you to know that before he did that, God had already ruined his reputation because God came to the earth as a human. Jesus was already in Mary's belly. He was already there, a little person in that womb. God sullied his reputation by becoming a human, taking our form, taking our flesh. And he was born, by the way. And he lived a human life, the life that you and I should have lived. And then he died the death that we should have died. God has identified so deeply with humanity out of love. Love for you and the individual, the particular, your story, the details of your life that you've shared with people, the details that you'll never share with somebody. God knows that. He sees you all the way down and he loves you. If you spend time recognizing that love, the enemy empower you to let go of these facades that we build and then just step into the light of God. And live a life of trust and faith. No matter what people say, they'll always chirp. I don't care what you think about me. I have the favor of the King of the universe. Creator God, who is not distant, he actually came as a person. He's ascended to heaven. One day he'll come back. That's Advent. And when I see him face to face, he's going to see the face of a friend. He'll recognize me. He might take the time. Lord, is that you? Hey, Janice, I know all about you. Hey, Owen. Right? That's love. Take time. Spend with the Word of God. Learn about the story of Jesus, his love for you. And as you do that, your life's going to change. You're going to stop caring about those around you. You live for Jesus, you will be a Sadiq, you'll be righteous. For you, death will not be the end. Just a door to the life of God. That's the promise. Don't sleep on this. Don't make this Advent go to waste. Trust Jesus. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you that not only in our personal loneliness and our hurt, but actually the loneliness and the hurt of the whole world, you see us now and you haven't ignored us. You haven't destroyed us. In fact, you've come to us humble, meek, and mild in the person of Jesus. And you've done everything. You've done all the heavy lifting for us to be connected to you in love. God, whatever's in our way, our self-crafted identities, or CV, whatever it is, that's blocking us from genuinely trusting you, living our lives for you. I pray that you remove that, you destroy that. Help us to live our lives in light of your love. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.